Here.
Thank you.
It's nice not drinking alone for once.
Lucy.
Right. Lucy. Sorry.
You know they say the devil lives in a bottle.
They do they? They don't believe in the devil anymore. Not now. Surrounded by refrigerated beer, streetlights, and 7-Elevens. Used to be churches, every way you looked. Keeping a watchful eye on folks. Now it's all waffle fries, chicken tenders, and cheeseburgers. Satellite TV and cell phones. Men worship these new gods. I'm old now, and tired. I've lived quite a bit longer than I thought I would. Longer than's natural. If there's one thing I've learned, is that you need a darn sight more than hope and a prayer between you and the devil. Reckon if people took a peek inside my head, saw the things I'm desperate to forget, there'd soon be more churches. They'd burst their seams come Sunday.
Raven Black presents The Devil's Darning Needle, written and directed by Leo Fitzwalter.
You know, when I was a boy, men believed in the devil. They believed strongly, with their whole hearts. Rightly so. But today's devil is a notion, a shadow, a bad decision, or a piece of tough luck. Nothing more than a flat tire or a pack of gum jammed in a vending machine. But back then, he walked the same ground as you and I. And he never walked among men so boldly as the year the dust blew from the south and choked our town. I tell you, our fathers, they were heroes, at least in our eyes. Could squint at a blue sky and see rain coming. Smell of dirt in their hands told them good harvest from empty plate. They knew of and cared for two things, God and wheat. The sun baked the earth, and the devil walked barefoot between those who broke their backs and split their palms plowing acres of dust. Narrowed eyes caught the heat shimmer shadow of his dark silhouette wandering. Shivers snaked their spines. Like you can't look too long at the sun, you know. Well, you couldn't look straight at him. The devil watched the town from afar. Watched as, with sweat, stone-hard toil, and God's grace, they pulled wheat through barren ground. The devil moved among us, circled some, took their measure, noticed every angle. Men today think a measured spirit's something poured out in neon-lit bars with sticky floors and scuffed-up pool tables. But back then, I lived among strong hearts. And so the devil kept on searching. But later came desperate times. And even the strongest would find themselves desiring this or that. Rain, food, hope, or just a way out. You've got to remember, the easy way out takes no faith at all. And that's where the devil saw his way in. I remember the night he found just what he was looking for. Happens too. A storm came the same time. Rolled in, bulldozed the whole town. Air thick and reeking of copper. Men prayed for rain, as much for skin as for crop. Thunder shook heaven, and we were reminded how small we are. Now, children do stupid things. I know this. But that night, I rewrote the playbook. I wanted to see the lightning cracks, so I crept from our farm. Stooped, doubled under a purple slap of cloud, and ran. The dirt track through town was long and straight. Ruts real deep, so motor cars and carts didn't need steering. Father said, "Fall asleep, and you'll still get where you're going." Anyway, the Milner's ramshackle home marked the edge of town, a broken tooth on the horizon. From there, the road kept on running, desperate to get away. So desperate, it stumbled through swamp, used to be a lake. Father, as a boy, swam those clear waters. Knew his first girl right there on those banks. Maybe I come from there too. Who knows? Only God was watching. But the sun stole the water. Shimmering lake turned to dank swamp. Cattails tried to suck up the last stale water, which grew green fur and breathed decay. Mud at the edge cracked dried mosaic. Set back in the weeds, there was a boulder shaped like a lion's paw. You could scramble up. Well, high on that rock, the sky spreads out like it's inside your head. All that exists is sky, ear to ear. Perfect for watching storms roll in. But someone else was there too. He never saw me. I kept myself hidden real good behind that rock. James Crake, small, with thick brows and moony face. The boy with no friends. That little Jimmy Crake, people said.
Have to leave the room when he walks in. Makes my skin creep. Those eyes.
His eyes unnerved folks. Dark, black, maybe. Made you think of empty graves. He was a mean child. Found pleasure in causing pain. Pastor called him wicked. And I never once saw his parents at prayers. In a road, the Crakes had a struggle on their hands raising that one. Same as blood is hard to stem once it's flowing. If darkness wants to seep into the world, it finds a way. Jimmy Crake crouched, slingshot in fist. Being the last lick of water for miles about, the swamp hummed with dragonflies. Even in the bruised half-light of the storm, big as pencils, four shiny wings and shimmering blue tails, sharp as needles. They darted between reeds, barely stopped, bulbous eyes hunting for prey, damn near able to turn their heads fully round. This was great sport for Jimmy Craig. He waited until they landed, then fired off a pebble to crush their wings. Broken dragonflies twitched on the ground. He snatched them up, hung them by their tails from string he'd stretched between two trees. The line jigged and trembled as 30 dragonflies dried real slow. Something caught my eye. Far side of the swamp, pushing through the reeds.
Who's that?
A man from town, I hoped. Who'd see what the boy Crake had done and give him a thrashing. I settled in to watch. Too eager, maybe. I'll admit that. I never saw the stranger's face, but I recognized his walk. Same fella been hanging round town. You see, new faces were mostly running else had something to hide. They always stood out in a small town like ours. The stranger pointed at the dragonflies, and laughter crept over the swamp. Felt sick to my gut. Still dream about that laugh. That night, the devil found something special in Jimmy Creek and took the boy as apprentice. Lightning. I was blind for seconds until blue-pink faded from my eyes. Raindrop's biggest corn fell to the dust with a slap. Thunder bellowed. Water, sweat, and dust streamed into my eyes, made him sting. Across the swamp, the stranger whispered in Jimmy's ear. The boy went axe-handled stiff and fell to the dirt. The stranger roared at the sky, and I swear it hollered back. Jimmy's body shuddered and jerked in the mud, like his dragonflies all trussed up. But then my courage gave out, and I stood ready to run. The devil saw and screamed. I was gone, storm chasing me back to town. Maybe the ache in my chest and legs steadied my head, because midway home, guilt pulled me a different direction. Not back to help. I was never that kid. But at least I could tell Jimmy's old man. The Craig's place was basically a shack with a porch lit by a lamp that squeak-swayed in the wind. I barely touched the steps, hand lifted to beat their door. But then, I heard Jimmy's voice from inside.
I'm hungry still. Give me more.
Impossible, I thought. I crept to the window. The Craigs, all three of them, sat at the table. Jimmy had his back to me.
You've had more than your fill.
His father barked and snatched up his plate. They left the room to wash up or something. Jimmy stayed, cocked his head. I thought he'd heard my feet creak the boards, else my heart was beating bold enough to deafen the storm. Slowly, slowly, Jimmy turned his head. And he didn't stop turning it till he was staring straight at me, neck twisted right around. He smiled, placed a finger on his lips. Those dark eyes bulged. Second time that night, I ran so hard, there was fire in my legs and my chest damn near split wide open. I kept my distance after that. Told no one. Who'd believe? I spent little time in town, though the goings-on reached me in pieces. Over baked ham one night, mother and father whispered, but I was young, with big ears and no tact.
And that's all they said. Clara Craig has gone and left. Left.
For good?
Uh-huh. They said she stuffed a bag and practically flew out of town. Left the dust stirred up she went so fast, they said.
Lord.
Guess you just don't know what's behind closed doors.
No, I guess you don't.
I never saw Jimmy at school anymore, not after the storm. Once walking home, I heard Jimmy's old man tell the schoolmaster he just couldn't get the boy to attend. Tried shouting, and it turned with his belt. Jimmy just smiled as his skin welted scarlet. Found the whole damn thing funny. Well, July came. Women and children got busy with the arrival of out-of-town threshing crew, ready to level our winter wheat. Sun never did let up, and dust formed clouds that hung in the air, stained clothes red. Jimmy's old man used to bring up a farm tractor from the neighboring town and hook it by belt to a threshing machine. But that morning, they found the thresher motionless, and Mr. Craik kneeling in the dirt. He was crying so hard, the dirt thought it rained.
Oh, God.
Well, no. He was shouting and yelling, telling people his own son had grown new skin overnight. Thick, dry leather covering him from crown to heel.
Crawl over back.
Farmhand ran for the pastor when he heard those words.
No, please.
Tears became torrents as Mr. Craik told how the skin split. And something that wasn't his boy no more crawled on out. Of course, no one believed him. Some said the heat spoiled his mind. Others said a broken home breaks other things too.
Someone believe me, please.
They nodded wisely.
Please, someone.
But no one believed.
Someone listen, please.
No one,
please.
That is.
Someone gotta believe.
Until Alice.
Someone.
You need a refill?
No. No, thank you.
You sure? Things don't get much better from here.
No. Go ahead, Joe. Tell me about Alice.
Don't know why you're interested in this stuff. It was a long time ago. But, okay. Alice Brown was such a pretty thing, you know. Doe-eyed, with long lashes that tickled the air. People laughed at her fondness for me. Her freckles hid in crimson when I was near. But I pretended not to notice. Walked a little taller and tried talking a little smarter around her, though. Now, getting wheat to lay on down takes a mighty effort. The townsmen and boys would sweat side by side for days to get it done. Hard work, backsnapping hard. Old wives say every seventh year is a stubborn harvest, and that the wheat takes something in spite before it yields. This particular year, it chose Alice's father. His heart, wearied by toil and heat, stopped. He lay down gentle among the wheat, like a puppet if you cut its strings, his hands resting on bundles that never made the carts. Another life lost to those fields. As you can imagine, Alice's world broke. We sat side by side that night on a wooden gate beneath the windmill. She wished through sobs and streams of salt water that her father were still alive. A tiny wish, helpless, naive, but still a wish. We sat wrapped in silence. I didn't know what to say. What can you say? Would have put my arm around her, but a fluttering blew to our ears. Thought at first it was the wind through the wheat behind us, but that wheat was struck and tied. Moonstone pewter slick across the quilted fields. Something flashed in the silver. The fluttering grew, became a drone. Shadows brushed my face, and papery wings rustled. It darted, flashed again. I stumbled from the gate, but Alice was knocked to the dirt. Her thin legs kicked and trembled, pinned beneath the thing. Wings beat, and girl and beast leapt into the air. Skimmed across the fields, darted between shadows. A giant dragonfly carried Alice away into the night. Next morning, though, Alice returned. Shuffling along the road, arms reaching out, people looked up as she walked silent by. Someone screamed, echoed across the street, shut everybody up. You see, Alice's mouth was stitched corner to corner with shimmering blue thread. Fear flooded from those pretty eyes. She tried to speak, maybe tell people what happened. But a mumbling girl with no mouth scared us all. We backed away, hands tracing the cross. Our doctor tried real hard to cut the thread with blades heated red over a glass lamp. Art Cranach held the girl down on a trestle. Her trembling rattled the wood. Art said the smell of burnt flesh stained the room when Doc caught Alice's lips. That shiny cord would not break, nor fray. Nothing could unpick the stitches from the young girl's mouth. First, a straw could be pushed through to give water. But the punctures around the thread healed fast. So too, the space between her lips. Soft pink skin grew, sealed her mouth shut forever. 3 long days passed. Alice, weak. Skin pale. Fell asleep and never woke. They were desperate times back then. Desperate, desperate times. We were scorched by sun, scoured by dust, starved hollow by fickle crop. Fearful of war, everyone expected but never spoke of, and not a drop of lawful liquor around. It was only right that a man should want for better times, and if he had no real chance of finding them, well, he could damn well wish instead. And that was the trap the devil laid out for us. Widow Stanton, who lived alone, sold hard black bread to folks, wished for enough money to move on out of that cursed town. She was snatched away, though. No one saw her go. Later, she was dropped from height onto Main Street, right in front of my feet. That sound. Dull thud. Gentle crunch. Luckily for her, the rapid return to Earth killed her straight. Lucky, because she didn't have to fade away like Alice. Still, the widow's mouth was stitched, bound tight, with the same blue-green thread. Not long later, Jack Gaveril, a bear of a man with a bristling temper and unquenchable thirst, swore at the pastor, making him sputter and blush, then hurled a chair through the window. He wished in language the color of rifle smoke that the landlord's daughter would bring him more scotch, and then spread her knees by his table. Folk who'd gathered to watch his outburst felt their smiles slip slide off their faces as Caviro the Giant was jerked from the street like a toy, yanked right up into the air beneath the creature. He too walked silently home, unable to drink himself blind, shout or curse. He touched a pistol to his own brow and died. A terrified child of a man. Others followed. Whenever a wish passed their lips, it came. Maybe the devil, stung with shame at what he'd done, never saw the stranger again. Maybe he feared what the Crake boy had become. Black, even by his standards. Felt a wrench in his gut and turned tail on our town, shuffling away through dust and stubble. Maybe he felt no shame at all and proud of his work. Left, seeking new playthings. Myself? I think he watched us from a distance, feeding on fear left behind. The people of our town became devil-fearing folk, more so than God-fearing. Those who could moved away, hopeful terror could be outrun. But hope washes away like chalk in a storm. Christ, the things I've seen. Things that keep me wide-eyed awake, well after the last drunk stumble home. After the cars leave, the blacktop clear like a river of ink. Neither God nor whiskey can fix my sleep. I've given up that chase. Those images are burned, branded in the back of my eyes. They replay again and again and again. All the time, whenever I'm alone. Red spray stain on Caverill's wall. Dead tears on the widow's cheeks. Scuffs in the dirt where Alice. Poor Alice. The dumb terror of the wishful who staggered home. Eyes stretched wide open. I saw it all, and see it still. Forever. Oh God, please. I wish I'd never gone to watch that storm. There. There's the beautiful perfection of the devil's trap. Two short words, so easily said. Words I've neither thought nor whispered these decades past. Christ, surely the stranger has found game elsewhere by now. And the boy Craik, he, the devil's own darned needle, must surely be dead, else discarded, forgotten among today's banquet of sin. Oh God, please, 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 no. Listen. Can you hear it? What is that? Oh no. Is that him? Oh no, oh no. Listen. There's a murmur. Could be wind and wheat.
But it isn't. A drone. Like wings. Listen.
Oh God. Stopped. Oh God. It stopped. I thought.
No, no! Get away! Please, God!
Devil's Darning Needle, starring Zach Hoffman as Joe and Elsie Lovelock as Lucy. Additional performances by Heather Foster, Jerry Griffin, Elsie Lovelock, Rhonda Newman, and Lucas Webley. Original music and sound design by John Nichols. Script consultancy by Nate Martin. Script continuity by Embry Fitzwalter. Artwork by Kate O'Hara, with special thanks to Zach Hoffman, Kim Cookie McRae, and Voquint. Written and directed by Leo Fitzwalter. The Devil's Darning Needle is a Raven Black production.